Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. Here in Ireland for over 40 years, that's four decades of trust, reliability and expertise. Visit Zurich.ie.
Returning now to the announcement today of a new framework agreement between the Irish and British governments on dealing with the legacy of Northern Ireland's troubles. In a moment, we'll be joined by former Taoiseach Bertie Ahern and former Taoiseach and Minister for Foreign Affairs Simon Coveney. First, though, Tyrone Nationalist Councillor Patsy Kelly was killed over 50 years ago, and nobody has been brought to justice in the five decades since. A scathing police ombudsman report concluded 2 years ago that the Kelly family had been failed by police through its wholly inadequate investigation. The family were denied an inquest four times before being granted one 2 years ago, but then the Legacy Act guillotined it. Well, I'm joined now by his son, Patsy Kelly Jr. Thank you for speaking to us again, Patsy. Can you tell us a little bit more about your father, Patsy?
Yeah, absolutely. So my father was, at the time of his murder, he was 35 years old, married to my mother, Teresa, and they had four very young children at the time. He was also an independent nationalist councillor on Omagh District Council. He also ran a bar in the village of Trillick in County Tyrone. And on the 24th of July, he was locked up the bar to drive the short 2 mile journey home. But he was stopped at what we believe was a British Army checkpoint. He was abducted. He was beaten badly about the head. There was deep lacerations to his scalp. There was burn marks to his hand and forearm. And he was strangled with such force that his voice box was completely shattered. He was shot six times, and his body was dumped in a lake over maybe 12 miles away in County Fermanagh. And his body wasn't discovered until about a three-week period, upon which the entire local community and in Trillick, beyond in Tyrone and Fermanagh, people came out in their thousands to comb the countryside while all the time, the police investigation, as you mentioned there in your introduction, the police ombudsman's report, which was released 2 years ago, which was absolutely damning in how we were, we were completely failed by police. It was wholly inadequate in terms of investigation. There was a wide litany of investigative failings. There was failure to verify, alibi witness accounts from UDR British soldiers. There was a failure to link cases between my father's murder and various other murders that had taken place in the area. There was various forensic failings, fingerprints and so forth, and footwear marks that would have matched army-issued boots were discovered, but that none of that was actually submitted to the original inquest. And of course, the ombudsman also found that there was what she termed as latent investigative bias on behalf of senior investigating officers, which ultimately came to the she found that it was collusive behaviour, which obviously to the normal person in the street is the term collusion.
And Patsy, you've given an insight there into the torment your family have been through. I mean, the discovery of your father's body 3 weeks after he was abducted, and to go through that grief, but then decades on to feel you've not got justice, and learning that a police investigation, had thoroughly failed your family. It was wholly inadequate, and evidence, as you say, of collusive activity. And then your request for an inquest was finally granted, but then this was denied by the Legacy Act. Now, we had an announcement today on a new deal. Does that give you hope?
Today is a day, Clara, I'm sure we're not the only family. There's many, many others who are. Today is the day that we're filled with apprehension. There's been so many, many false dawns before. We've been let down on so many assurances on legacy in the past. That it's is this to be more window dressing, or is this actually going to be a genuine opportunity to bring truth, justice, and closure? But, like, you know, really, I mean, and it's poignant, Claire, that on the morning of the these announcements being made by the British and Irish governments, that, you know, my family is in court in Belfast in as part of a civil action, of which may even result in, you know, my 84-year-old mother having to go to court to give evidence within that civil action. And as you stated at the beginning, you know, over 50 years ago, has been going on, and four times having been denied an inquest, four times despite all of the strong, compelling evidence, to then be granted that inquest 2 years ago, and within a number of months to have that taken away by the Legacy Act that was implemented by the reckless reckless Tory party. So I would imagine everyone, it's the matter of, you know, today there's been a lot of words today from both governments, and what we really need is to you know, dig into the detail, digest the information, find out what's actually going to take place, because just at this very, very early stage, and again, you know, everyone's just trying to understand the detail and what may be happening. But despite being denied four times and then having the inquest granted, it is possible that that our inquest may not begin, because our inquest never begun. There's some wording within the proposal that states that those inquests will be decided upon by a Solicitor General. And depending on certain, I listened to the Secretary of State in the Taoiseach earlier, where they said that certain criteria would have to be met for those inquests to begin, and otherwise they would go to what I think is called the Legacy Commission.
So even though you have this announcement today, Patsy, what I'm hearing from you is there's still a lot of uncertainty about where this goes and what it'll mean for you and for your family seeking justice. Patsy, do stay on the line with us, if you will.
Iar Taoiseach Bertie Ahern, you're very welcome to the programme.
Thanks very much, Cormac.
And thanks for joining us. It's very instructive, I must say, listening to Patsy. Families have had false dawns before, he says, and I'm sure you've spoken with so many of them over the years. Do you think this new joint framework involving both governments now will bring justice for families involved in legacy cases?
Well, I think I've always felt that dealing with the legacy of the past opens the door to reconciliation for the future. So I think any attempt is to be, I think, supported and welcomed. I think it's just good to look back on this. You know, for about 10 years, just to stop the violence, there was very little talk about legacy, practically none. And then in 2014, with the Storm and House Agreement, which was agreed by everybody. I think everybody saw this as the new dawn, and that we should make that work. The reality is it didn't. It was never really implemented, and it was dead in the water very early on, though it was a genuine attempt by people to put together a package. And then we came to what the British government did, the last British government. They brought in legislation. They ignored everybody. They ignored Patsy and his family and all of the other survivors groups and the political parties and the victims, and they went ahead with their own legislation. And that stopped all kind of things that were both in process and other things that might have happened. So I think, in fairness to the Secretary of State, Hilary Benn, and to Simon Harris, they said last year that they would, the British government said they would repeal and replace the Legacy Act. And then the Irish government said they'd sit down. They've spent 8 months hard at it, trying to find a way. I think the Taoiseach said today maybe it's imperfect. But it is, I think, a genuine effort to put together a structure that might be able to to deal with as many cases as possible.
And I just wonder, they did say in fairness that they'll try and get, I mean, we're drawing up the legislation, we're drafting it up, says Hilary Benn at the press conference as we speak, and he showed an expediency in his speech anyway to get on with the legislation. I just wonder why was there a need for legislation on both sides and in both jurisdictions for the fullest cooperation by authorities in terms of legacy? Why wasn't that there before now? Can you explain to me?
Well, I think, Cormac, what has always been the case is some of our northern colleagues have always said that, and I think you were talking about it earlier on, and that we were not serious about it and we weren't committed to it and we were putting pressure on one side. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is an attempt by both governments to put their very best efforts into this system. And I think that's because it's no point in getting 30 years on into Patsy and his family. And by the way, something like 30,000 other files as well. So it's no point in us trying to say this is simple. So I think it is important that as much of the truth, accountability, examination that can be done.
Yeah.
I don't think we're going to be able to resolve everything. But let
me just remind people in case they didn't hear it, Bertie Ahern. The quote that I put to Minister Thomas Byrne earlier was from Gavin Robinson of the DUP, and he called on the government to, and I quote, accept and address their complicity in legacy. I've never heard one apology, he said, or acknowledgement for the role they had in protecting offenders who absconded into this system and refusing extraditions. Does he have any point there, any validity in that point?
No, I don't think he does, to be honest, John, because I think for 50 years we have in this jurisdiction be both apologising for anything was wrong. There was the arguments about extradition in another time. There was the cases of Articles 2 and 3 that led to a lot of judgments back in the 70s in the courts. But I think successive Irish governments for the last 50 years have been clear that they were against the violence, against anything that people in the Republic of Ireland were engaged in. And I think what Gavin Robinson should do is the same as us all, is to try and find solutions going forward so that Patsy and his family and lots of other families, that we can try and take them out of the trauma that many of them have lived on. Because if we're going to go back to where we were in the 70s, that mm-hmm. won't help us. So I think we should all just try and make this work. It's complex, there's no doubt about that. But I think our best officials have given 8 months, as I understand it, a solid work to try and find a system that they believe is possible to bring certainty. And I think we should acknowledge that.
Can I ask you one quick question on the protections that are built into the framework for witnesses that are going to come before the commission? Could it, and this is for witnesses who might be ageing, who might be hampered by ill health and so on, could it be relied upon to hamper any evidence giving or hamper any prosecution, do you think?
Well, I think this is why it's so difficult. I mean, a lot of the people who are involved and engaged in a lot of these activities, Cormac, are dead. A lot of the people who were involved in some of these terrible acts are quite old now. Their families probably never knew they were involved in the violence, the extent they were involved in. So there are all these complexities. It's 50 years ago now since under the worst of the troubles, that 70 to 75 period. I think all of the points the ship made are relevant to this. But the inquests, the gathering of information, the retrieval room and retrieval section that they're now setting up, all of these things I think can help. Can they resolve all the cases? I don't think we should try to make that point, and I don't think either Minister was saying that, the Secretary of State or the Taoiseach were saying that today. But we've had nothing since the Stormont House Agreement 11 years ago. That failed. The Legacy Act was a disaster. Nobody agreed with it. We've got back fairly close to the Stormont House Agreement, which was a good proposal, in my view. I think we should try and give this fair weather as best we can with all the uncertainties that might be involved.
If you can't stay with me, I think you'll want to hear the input of our next guest as well, Bertie Hearn. Claire.
Simon Coveney, former Taoiseach Minister for Foreign Affairs. Good evening.
Hi, Claire. Hi, thanks for having me on.
I mean, how do you assess today? Do you believe that this is a milestone day with this new deal that's been reached? Or could it be another false dawn? We heard from Patsy there at the top of the hour, who has said there's so much uncertainty. He was waiting for an inquest over five decades, rejected on four occasions, and they don't know where they are, and they don't really know where this new deal will leave them.
Yeah, look, I can understand their scepticism and their concern, but also the hope that maybe this time it'll be different. And, you know, I've spent a lot of time with victims' families in Northern Ireland, and I can understand the pain that Patsy and his family are still going through. I mean, I think, by the way, my understanding of the agreements and the framework today is that inquests that had been commenced, but which were halted by the 2023 Act, will recommence automatically. So, I mean, I hope that's a positive piece of information for Patsy.
Maybe we're just awaiting clarity on that.
That's my understanding. But I think Bertie Hearn is right. I mean, what we have got today is essentially a return to structures that are very similar to what was agreed in the Stormont House Agreement, where we have one body which is essentially going to become the new legacy commission that can take criminal prosecution against people if the evidence is there for that. And then a second body, which is about information recovery, to work with families, to take information confidentially from people that may help families to piece together what happened to their loved ones in terms of information provision. Those two different efforts, if you like, that were agreed back in 2014, we're essentially returning to that model now with a whole load of extra sort of reassurances in terms of independent oversight, ensuring there's no conflict of interest, ensuring that there's a statutory advisory group for victims and survivors, independence in terms of appointment panel.
Yeah, from what you're outlining see it as more than a rebrand, because that is the concern that there was, you know, commission body that was there, and now we have this newly named Legacy Commission. DUP has suggested that the changes, are just sort of tinkering around the edges, strengthening it, not repealing, not replacing. Sinn Féin had expressed concerns that this would be a rebrand and not a full dismantling of what was there before, which had not served victims well in a kind of cross-party view of things. I mean, can you say that this is something completely different that will bring justice to families?
Yeah, so let me answer that very directly. So I was the Minister for Foreign Affairs at the time when the British government decided effectively to go it alone on legacy. We had a serious falling out with the British government at the time. Brandon Lewis was the Secretary of State in Northern Ireland. Boris Johnson was the Prime Minister. And they effectively made decisions on legacy on the basis of politics in London in a committee system where, you know, the priority was to protect veterans, was to protect the British state, in my view, rather than actually work in partnership with the Irish government and victims and their families and parties, political parties in Northern Ireland.
Do you share concerns that there are protections now in place for veteran British soldiers when it talks about, we touched on it there, old age, well-being being taken into account?
I mean, there are some considerations there, you know, and I think that is not unreasonable. But let me just be clear. I mean, what was decided by the British government unilaterally was to close all police investigations, all police ombudsman investigations, to close all legacy inquests, and then to set up this independent commission, which effectively took the potential for families to actually take their case to court and to prove a conviction, to take that away from them. And that was devastating for families, many of whom have been waiting for decades for justice. And so what we have now is the reopening of inquests, the reopening potentially also of police investigation, should that be appropriate. Right. And we have new powers and an awful lot more independence in terms of those criminal prosecutions, which I hope for some families will take place if the evidence is there for that. Okay. So as Bertie Ahern says, this is a really difficult, painful, complex area. But I think what Hilary Benn and Simon Harris have announced today is a very, very significant step forward. And it's also, I think, a sign of the level of cooperation now between the British and Irish governments that we haven't seen for quite some time, and that should be welcomed.
All right. Simon Coveney, thank you for that. Patsy, I just want to bring you in on that. From what you've heard, has it given you, you know, fresh hope that this is, well, not just a reset, I suppose, of perhaps Anglo-Irish relations, but that this deal will help bring about justice for your family and for many others like you?
Well, I suppose, sir, what we're doing, what we will be doing, what we are doing at the moment is, if you like, looking at comparatively trying to enter into almost a comparative process. Like, if our, and just to want to confirm, Simon Coveney was stating about our case, our inquest never actually began. So it never actually started. So therefore, based on today's proposals, does it look like that will be referred to the legacy commission or decided upon whether that happens or not? But like, is it a case that will it match the exact same powers of an inquest? Because bear in mind that when you look at cases like the inquest that was held into Patrick McElhone in Pomeroy, my own county of Tyrone, and then in the Ballymurphy, regular listeners to Drive Time will remember the inquest that was held for Ballymurphy, the killings, and you know, the level of detail and the level of, I suppose, overall resolution that it helped all of those families, the benefit that it brought in uncovering as much truth as possible. Right. And really what we're looking forward to now is like for the civil action to conclude and for our inquest to take place.
Okay, well, we wish you and your family all the very best with that. Patsy Kelly Jr., thank you for joining us. Finally, Bertie Ahern, if you're still with me there, are you?
I am, yes, Claire.
I just want to
make one point about that, but just on Patsy's point. The proposals today, he's correct that if your case had started, if your inquest had commenced and were halted by the 2023 Act, it will recommence. The other, I think, was 22 or 24. Mm-hmm. So those remaining inquests, both these were part of the 5-year plan. And they will now, according to the proposals today, be directed by the Attorney General for Northern Ireland. And they'll be subject to an independent assessment by the UK Solicitor General. And that'll, I think, consider whether each case are appropriately dealt with or they go to the Legacy Commission. So that's what the document states.
All right. OK. And thank you for bringing us some clarity on that. But finally, I just want to ask you that presidential question, Bertie. Just a few weeks ago, you outlined how you'd asked Fianna Fáil officials in December if the party leadership would back you for the presidency. You asked them again at Easter and in April and in May and in June and in July. They never answered you. You say you learnt your answer in the Irish Times. Has anybody from the party reached out to you?
No. No. Not one.
You said that Micheál Martin was anti you in a video message where you confirmed that you were dropping your campaign to get a nomination from Fianna Fáil. Are you aggrieved by how you believe the Taoiseach has treated you? Do you feel personally hurt by that?
Yeah, listen, it's no good crying over spilled milk. That would be seen to be bad faith. But, you know, I had a campaign ready. I had groups throughout the country. We probably had 200 or 300 people dedicated to the campaign. We were ready to go. After talking about legacy issues, I thought some of my legacy issues 30 years ago might get a change of heart. But anyway, you live and you learn. And I just have to get on with it. But listen, I could tell you a pack of lies, but I was very disappointed. Maybe just leave it that way.
All right. Will you be backing Jim Gavin?
I know Jim very well, and I wish him well. But I have to say, we'll wait till we see the full team, and you know, I'm waiting for Jim.
So it may not be Jim.
Well.
It could be someone else. You're throwing your weight behind.
No, I mean, I won't be. I don't think I'll be throwing too much weight behind anyone, quite frankly. But I know Jim very well. I also know Heather Humphrey very well. So We'll see. So I'll keep my vote to the sanctity of the polling booth. But I'd have to say, one of the reasons I didn't run independent, even though I had people all over the country ask me, because I'm a Fianna Fáil person. So Fianna Fáil's candidate is Jim Gavin. But
I'm sure you believe you would have made a better candidate than Jim Gavin, Bertie, you know, given that you wanted that run at the Oras. What about Billy Kelleher? I mean, do you think the Parliamentary Party made the right choice there?
Well, I think Billy was standing to make a point that there should have been a process, and that's what Billy achieved. And I think I'm not so certain how much Billy, as I understand it, I spent 2 years preparing for a Clare. Jim Gavin came into the reckoning in late July. Billy Kelleher came in late August. So maybe the lesson for future people, if it won't be for me, in fact, you should wait maybe until September before you decide about thinking about the presidency, because if you think about it and plan too early, or you think you're suitable, well, you'll probably get the same answer as I did, which was nothing.
What now for you?
Good question. Good question, because I had kept myself free for a few months to get on with campaign. But like everything else, I spent an hour today with the people working the peace process in the Philippines. I spent the earlier part of the week dealing with some of the people dealing with the Kurds. So I was hoping to get away from the long travels, but maybe that's where I'm destined to continue on with. But so, listen,
could I ask you something, Bertie?
Old.
Could I ask you something? Well, you're not that old yet. Can I ask you something in relation to all of this? I'm listening very attentively. Did anyone from within the Fianna Fáil Parliamentary Party express anything to you after what you said?
Within the parliamentary party, I had probably 20, 25 people within the parliamentary party.
Really?
Had I anybody from the parliamentary party?
Yeah, saying that you were hard done by, is it?
I think Clare's point was that I had heard anything from the leadership.
No, I know, I understand that, yeah. But my question is, from within the parliamentary party, they reached out to you and they said, I'm sorry, words to what effect?
No, I think within the parliamentary party, I think we did a count about a week ago, and I think I'd spoken to 24, 25, 26 members of the parliamentary party. And then if I had got the nomination, I mean, I think they were ready to help me and support me. But, you know,
and
I think
after you spoke out, this is what's interesting to me, Bertie, a former Taoiseach, a former leader of Fianna Fáil, Mary Hannafin, said it on RT Radio 1, how you were dealt with. After you said the leadership seems to be anti-Bertie Ahern, did anybody from the parliamentary party reach out to you then?
I've spoken to so many. I think I spoke to, I was at the launch of Des O'Malley's son's book last night in the Mansion House. I think I spoke to about 7 or 8 members of the parliamentary party last night. So I'm forever talking to members of the parliamentary party. Mm.
Do you think, it was my final question to you then, do you think Micheál Martin's future as leader is in any way tied to Jim Gavin's fortunes in this campaign?
That's all a matter for the parliamentary party. Yeah. I wouldn't dare get involved in that.
You have an opinion on that, obviously.
I might have lots of opinions, but it's all a matter for the parliamentary party. And to be honest with you, as you see, Cormac, my opinion doesn't matter too much in the leadership of Fianna Fáil.
Well, Neil Sumphishen.
Okay. All right, you're not nailing your colours anyway to one candidate or another right now, Bertie Ahern. But there, we will leave it. Thanks for joining us on Drive Time.
I cannot ignore somebody who won 5 in a row medals for Dublin. I couldn't ignore anyone.
All right. OK, thank you, Bertie Ahern, former Taoiseach. Thanks for joining us on the programme.